defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I want to begin the broadcast today by giving three reasons why we can be absolutely certain that evolution is a myth. And I think it's appropriate to do that at the beginning of a brand new school year. Kids are going back to school, and a vast majority are asked to walk lockstep alongside the theory of evolution built on the notion of philosophical naturalism. Those three answers in the Creation Answer Book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I say that evolution is rightly dubbed a fairy tale, but I think it's much worse than that. I think it's a cruel hoax. The arguments that are used to support the evolutionary theory are astonishingly weak. First, there's the fossil record, which is an embarrassment to evolutionists in that no verifiable transitional forms are found in the fossil record from one kind to another kind. They are, in fact, glaringly missing. The Cambrian explosion, I would say in short, has blown up or uprooted Darwin's tree of life. Furthermore, in Darwin's day, such enormously complex structures as a human egg were thought to be, well, quite simple, like a microscopic blob of jello. But in our day, we have determined them to be enormously complex. We know that a fertilized human egg is among the most organized complex structures in the universe. And in an age of scientific enlightenment, it is simply incredible to think that people are willing to maintain that something so vastly complex arose by chance. An egg, the human eye, the earth, are masterpieces of precision and design that simply could not have come into existence as a function of blind chance. One final point I make in the Creation Answer Book is that while chance is a blow to the theory of evolution, the laws of science are a bullet to its head. The basic laws of science undergird, as I point out, the creation model for origins and undermine the evolutionary hypothesis. And while we should fight for a person's right to believe science fiction, we must resist evolving attempts to equate the quote-unquote certainty of macroevolution, the evolution from one species to another species, with such scientific certainties as the law of gravity. And that's what you hear said over and over again, that we can be as certain of evolution as we can be certain of the law of gravity. And it's simply not true. A lot of evidence against the evolutionary hypothesis in my book, The Creation Answer Book. Again, here is where I answer the question of origins and how one views their origins ultimately will determine how they live their life. If you think you're a function of random chance, you arose from the primordial slime, you're going to live your life by a different standard than if you know you are created in the image of God and accountable to Him. A lot of you hanging on. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265, our contact information, and then write to our callers on the web. It's equip.org. Via the mail, it's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. First up, Robert, he's listening in Kansas City, Missouri on NRB television. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Hank. I'm sort of nervous talking on the air to a real Bible scholar, so bear with me. I'm a public school teacher, and so it's kind of, and a Christian, and so it's cool to hear you address some of the science that's going on in schools. My question's about, or talk on, if you would, the best defense on Jesus' virgin birth. That's an objection that gets raised when we're talking reality and science.
Yeah, this as well is it's an answer that I give in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. And what I point out is that miracles are not only possible, but they're necessary in order to make sense out of the universe in which we live. When you think about the universe, it is an effect that demands a cause equal to or greater than itself. Not only so, but the origin of life, irreducible complexity in biological systems, the phenomenon of the human mind, they're all posing intractable difficulties for the evolutionary hypothesis. Now, I think if we were to say that God became a clam, that would be absurd. But to say that God became a man is not absurd at all, because humanity bears what we call the incommunicable attributes of God. So there are, in many ways, corresponding attributes in humans and in God. So God has will or volition, so do human beings. God manifests love, so do human beings. So again, there are incommunicable attributes of God that find a correspondence in humanity. Now, in the incarnation, of course, Jesus Christ did not in any way take on a sin nature. To have a human nature, it doesn't mean you have to have a sin nature. Adam had a fully human nature without having a sin nature prior to the fall. I would also say this, and I think this is a very strong argument. I would argue that you can demonstrate that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin, and the Bible teaches the incarnation. So we should bow our knee before God's revelation of himself to us.
Is it fair to say that Christ, to be effective, he had to be not only fully man, because I'm fully man, but, and I couldn't do what he did, and so he also had to be fully God, because I understand the payment and satisfying God's righteous judgment, and God can't be dishonest, because he said the wages of sin is death. And so Jesus, his God part of him, his nature that is God, I mean, and for God to pay the price wouldn't have been worthy of, or that is to say, if he just forgave us, But he wasn't a human being also. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, and it's well said on your part. I think that without both natures, Christ's death on the cross would have been insufficient, because as man, just as you pointed out so well, he identified with us in our sin. But as God, his death was sufficient to atone for the sins of humanity. So it's critical that we recognize that in the incarnation, Jesus voluntarily took on the limitations of humanity, but he did not divest himself of a single attribute of deity. So what you've said is not only well said, but it's critical.
Awesome. Well, we're in a war, and I'm trying to be a good soldier.
Well, yeah, and I think what you need to really press is this first point that I made, and that is that miracles are necessary in order to make sense of the universe in which we live. And if that is true, then the incarnation should pose no problem for any one of us. I mean, if you look at the universe, it has to have a cause. And if you're a philosophical naturalist or an evolutionist, you have to say that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and the life that comes from non-life produced morals. That's a stretch for anybody. in an age of scientific enlightenment. I think we should keep pressing that point.
Okay, okay. Well, Satan's a liar, and that's one of the things. I read some C.S. Lewis recently, and that Satan is a liar. That's one of the main things to remember, and there would be no morals without our Father in heaven. Thank you.
You got it, Robert, and thank you for the work you're doing with kids. You're raising up a generation, and the answers that you give are going to be crucial later on. One of the things I remember is I asked my teachers questions and oftentimes did not get satisfactory answers, and as a result of that, I thought there weren't satisfactory answers, and that led me down a very bad path for a very long time. So the work you're doing is critical, so don't lose heart. Recognize you're making a difference.
Be afraid. Thank you so much. Thank you, Hank.
You got it, Robert. Thanks for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Scott in Springfield, Missouri. Scott's listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Scott.
How are you today?
Doing well.
Oh, okay. Well, this is my first time ever talking to you, and I get rather grumpy whenever I miss your show. I can't find a station to pick it up. I told your screener that I'm currently researching dinosaurs and where they fit at, where they fit in with the Bible. I just, you know, Genesis and the creation and everything. I've noticed the word behemoth. Today I read the book of Jonah, and I see that he was in the belly of a big fish. I mean, was that particular fish a whale that's bigger than any kind of whale that we have on the planet today that could be considered a kind of a dinosaur? And also this behemoth that was like walking on the earth, was it like a woolly mammoth, or was it a brontosaurus? Did Noah put them on the ark? And like, are mosquitoes dinosaurs also, and they survived? Why did he put something so terrible as a mosquito on the ark? You know, I could sit and talk to you for 30 minutes and ask you more questions, but I think that pretty much covers the gist of what I'm trying to understand.
Well, let's start with the dinosaurs. I mean, if you look at Behemoth and Leviathan, I don't think that you have to suppose that they are dinosaurs. And I think that if you look at the book of nature, it seems apparent from the book of nature that dinosaurs predated human beings. They didn't live at the same time as human beings. But if you look at Behemoth and Leviathan, so often in Job 40 and 41, interpreters say that these are dinosaurs, but I would simply disagree. And as I point out in the Creation Answer book, after 30-plus chapters of human speculations, God answers Job out of the storm, and he asked Job if he would like to try his hand at running the universe for a while. Who fathers the drops of dew was one of the axiomatic questions that God asked Job. Did you give the horse his strength? And then he says, consider Behemoth, who ranks first among the works of God, or the sea dragon. Can you pull in Leviathan with a fish hook? What you find out if you read Job carefully is that the literary progression moves from creation to creatures to the cherub, who once ranked first in the order of creation. In other words, to Job, the primal monster of the land, in the same way as the primal monster of the sea, was indomitable. But to Jehovah, Behemoth and Leviathan were mere pets on a divine leash. What you have here in the literary progression, what I'm really getting at, is that the monster is vanquished, and the monster is actually a personification of Satan. That's why you have this literary progression in the book of Job. And I cash this out in a great deal of detail, at least sufficient detail, in the Creation Answer book. So I don't think that you can make the case that Behemoth and Leviathan are dinosaurs that lived at the same time as human beings. I think that a better rendering of the biblical text is that they are personifications of Satan, and personifications that illustrate this metaphysical reality, that the mythology of the dragon actually is used to underscore the reality of the devil. So, again, I don't agree with people who suggest that, that dinosaurs lived at the same time as human beings, because all of the evidence points in a different direction. And you have to remember that the book of Genesis does not give us a chronology of creation as much as it gives us a hierarchy of creation. In other words, Adam's children, Cain and Abel, they're not the only children Adam and Eve had. Adam and Eve had many more children. Otherwise, where did Cain get his wife? You also have to recognize and answer your question, and I only have a few seconds to cash this out, but you have to recognize that sin came into the world, and as a result of sin, there are all kinds of consequences, including creatures that we don't really love.
There's something you see every day that proves creation is true. Birds. Yes, birds show us that they weren't designed to fly by a purposeless process, but by a personal plan. And Hank wants to send you the DVD, Flight, The Genius of Birds, to equip you with this truth. Flight is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please, request your copy today. Just call 888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. Can you handle the truth about creation? Many students today aren't being told the truth. Instead, they're taught the theory of evolution as truth. That's why, in thanks for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you Flight, The Genius of Birds. This new DVD from Illustra Media is an eye-opening look at the precise way God created birds, from skeleton to musculature to circulatory system and every other part of their body. It's all geared to work together to produce flight. And Flight shows you and your children and grandchildren why evolution is false and the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment. Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering an Apologetic Mission, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. It's one of the most powerful tools I've seen to equip people with the truth of creation. These were Hank Hanegraaff's words after watching the DVD from Illustra Media called Flight, The Genius of Birds, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Flight takes a detailed look at birds and addresses head-on the logical impossibility that this complex biological system could be produced by a purposeless process rather than by a personal plan. Equip yourself and your children and grandchildren with the truth about why evolution is false and why the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight, The Genius of Birds today, 1-888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
see a work of art, we know it was created by an intelligent designer. But evolution asks us to believe that our Earth and its inhabitants are the result of a purposeless process. Hank wants to equip you with the truth about creation. That's why he'll send you a powerful DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds, to thank you for your donation today. Request it when you call 1-888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And if you want to hear why I'm so excited about Flight, The Genius of Birds, I did a full-hour interview with Dr. Paul Nelson, who is a principal contributor to Flight, The Genius of Birds. And that's archived. You can find it on your iPhone if you have a CRI iPhone app. You can also find it on the World Wide Web at equip.org, archived there. But this is an incredible resource to equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. You can get your copy for your gift on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Jacob, listening in Nashville, Tennessee on WNAZ. Hi, Jacob.
Hey there. So it's good to talk to you, Mr. Hank. I've never heard your radio show before. I was zipping across the dial, and I heard something about Bible, so I stopped in. I thought it would interest me. I just recently graduated as a religion student, and now I'm getting a divinity degree at Vanderbilt Divinity School in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also a youth minister at a church.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so I had a question for you. I tuned in when you were speaking about evolution and the improbability of the evolutionary theory, and I had a question about Big Bang Theory, and if you thought that was, first of all, compatible with the Christian. Well, I guess, first of all, if it's true, and then second of all, if it is true, is it compatible with the Christian faith?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's true. It's the best cosmology that we have today. It supposes that the universe began as an infinitely dense singularity and has been expanding ever since for billions of years. And what I would say is the Big Bang is not communicated in the Genesis account of creation, but it does lend scientific credibility to the biblical idea that God created the universe ex nihilo, or out of nothing. To cast that out, let me say this. The Big Bang theory hypothesizes that the universe had a beginning, and that stands in stark opposition to the scientifically silly suggestion that the universe has eternally existed. So the Big Bang presupposes a beginning. The Bible presupposes a beginning. Furthermore, if the universe had a beginning, it had to have a cause. And the cause of all space, time, matter, energy has to be non-spatial, non-temporal, immaterial, and unfathomably powerful and personal. And therefore, the Big Bang flies in the face of the preposterous notion that the universe sprang into existence out of nothing, and then it lends credence to the Genesis contention of a creator who spoke, and the universe leapt into existence. So, again, I would say that all of the evidence in cosmology today points towards the Big Bang, and the Big Bang is in harmony with the notion that the universe had a beginning, precisely what the Bible presupposes. If there's a Big Bang, there has to be a Big Banger. So there's nothing whatsoever in Big Bang cosmology that supplants or overturns the biblical notion. The two fit very well hand in hand. Now, again, the reason I make some qualification is that I think you can say that this is current cosmology, and there have been a lot of cosmologies during the years that have been upended. And Therefore, I wouldn't necessarily hitch my my cart too securely to it. But there's certainly nothing wrong with it, and it does comport with what we know at present.
Wonderful. And Hank, if I could take a moment more, could you explain for me and your audience why, even if evolution was true, do you think that it also supports Christianity, or can support Christianity, do you think?
No, it's completely incompatible because, okay. The evolutionary hypothesis is based on the notion that everything is a function of pure, blind, mechanistic processes. In fact, if evolution were true, you wouldn't have free will. You'd be fatalistically determined on the basis of brain chemistry and genetics. So it's an unguided process, and creation is precisely the opposite. It is a guided process. It is God who creates all things. And things reproduce biblically after their own kinds. In the evolutionary hypothesis, one kind evolves into another kind. So cows become whales, and dinosaurs become birds. But when you think of the logistics of this, and this is, by the way, pointed out in graphic, beautiful detail in Flight, the Genius of Birds, when you start thinking about the probabilities, you find out that the evolutionary hypothesis in the Age of Scientific Enlightenment is not only improbable, it's impossible. And that's based on the fossil record. I mean, the fossil record says no, there simply aren't any vertical transitional forms from one kind to another kind. Ape men, fiction, fantasies, and frauds abound. Chance simply gives evolution no chance. Chance in this sense defined as that which happens without a cause. And the basic empirical or testable laws of science militate against the evolutionary hypothesis.
Okay. Well, I don't necessarily disagree with you, because in school, you know, I went to a Christian undergraduate, and we talked about how Big Bang was compatible with the Christian faith, but my professor seemed to believe that evolution was compatible with creation too, and his line of reasoning went something like that God guided the evolution. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of this before, and I would say, and you're free to disagree with me, and I think you are, but I would say that God filling in the gaps of the evolutionary record is just as probable to me as God guiding the evolutionary process to arise new species. So to me, I can see Christians using either way, but I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, I don't know how you guide an unguidable process. I mean, that is the systemic problem. And not only that, even if you have that hypothesis, you have to ask the question, where's the beef? Where's the evidence for that? And if you look at the Cambrian explosion, for example, it has uprooted Darwin's tree of life. It demonstrates in spades, to turn a phrase here, it demonstrates in spades that the evolutionary process simply does not comport with what we find in real life.
Okay. And I'm
I mean, we got to follow truth wherever it leads. I think that's...
Yeah, sure.
Let's talk about that for just a moment. And I've written about this again in the Creation Answer book. If all of geological history were compressed into a 24-hour clock, most of the distinct animal forms the world has ever known would appear suddenly within a 2-minute time span, all around the 21st hour. And the abrupt, the simultaneous appearance of this wide array of complex body plans signals an infusion of a vast amount of information that can rightly, and I think only, be attributed to an intelligent designer. The second point I'd make in this regard is Darwin theorized that every organism evolved from a common ancestor as a result of natural selection acting on random variations. But the Cambrian explosion points in exactly the opposite direction. And if you look at Darwin, he at least had some candor. He said that the distinctiveness of specific forms and their not being blended together by innumerable transitional links is a very, very obvious difficulty for his theory. And he predicted hundreds of thousands of transitional forms leading to the fossil of the Cambrian, but none have actually appeared. And since Darwin, the problem has only gotten worse. The fossil record has greatly expanded, and yet all known animal body plans appear in the form they possess today. So the problem is that the facts simply don't stack up on the evolutionary side of the equation. So all you can do now is tell stories or obfuscate because the facts aren't on your side. And because evolution is politically correct, it's a dogma that people must embrace in higher education, people are now blaming God for it. And I say, look, if you want to believe in evolution, that's fine, but don't blame God for it. It's cruel, it's inefficient, yeah, and it flies in the face of all the evidence we have today.
See, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, Hank. I'm glad that you're actually backing it up with science, because I feel like and my professor did a good job of stating the difference between Big Bang and evolution, that Big Bang had more evidence to back it up, even scientifically, so that it is compatible with our faith. But evolution just doesn't seem to have the science to back it up as much. So thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you so much for calling. Hope you keep listening.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, man. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Bob. He's listening in Boynton Beach, Florida, listening on or watching on NRB television. Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
God bless. I'd like to get some thoughts from you in regards to the following statements that you've heard been made and so on like that. People say live according to the times, and that the Old Testament was written for the Jewish people and the New Testament for the Christians, and whether or not you do or not, that the Jewish people were told to eat only from the cloven hoof and not the pork or the bacon, and Christians are eating a lot of bacon these days, and what your thoughts are.
Yeah, well, first of all, God's not a racist, so all of the Bible's written to all people in every epoch of time. It's certainly true that God called a certain people out to be a light to the nations, and they were people who were gathered around civil and ceremonial laws, including dietary laws that would point ultimately to Jesus Christ. When the substance comes to fulfill the shadow, you don't need the shadow anymore. And so the dietary laws are no longer necessary because the one to whom they pointed has come. And Jesus himself abrogated dietary laws by saying that it's not that which goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him. It's that which proceeds from the heart. And Mark appends the words, and saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. So there's nothing wrong with eating pork from a biblical or spiritual standpoint. Now, you may want to check with your dietitian to see how healthy it is, but that's an entirely different subject.
Well, it says in the Bible only from the cloven hoof, and I still don't quite understand the situation. You know, was that in more biblical times years and years ago that people were not supposed to, and was it put as a precedent, as a symbol, or what exactly, how do you think that comes about?
Well, I think I answered that question, but civil and ceremonial laws, including dietary laws, pointed forward to something. That something is a someone, Jesus Christ, and when Christ has come, there's no need to go back to types and shadows. In fact, going back to types and shadows would be an abomination, according to the writer of Hebrews. Be right back in just a moment with more answers.
Evolution strips away any notion of God. No God, no absolute truth. No absolute truth, and anything and everything goes. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to equip you with what he calls one of the most powerful tools he's seen to help you understand why evolution is false. The DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call to request it today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
Want to learn more about the miracle of a common chicken egg? How about the mechanism in a hummingbird's tongue? Elestra Media's new DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds, shows the truth about the complex designs of these creatures and more. It's also Hank Hanegraaff's gift to you in thanks for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. When you watch Flight, you'll be reminded again that our world has been designed by our creative creator God. Flight also counteracts the evolutionary thinking that you and your children or grandchildren could be exposed to, and it equips you with the truth of the biblical account of creation. Call and request your copy of Flight today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. In a world spiraling into a sexual free-for-all, many Christian women are succumbing to the cultural insanity that says sex is all about you. Others are smothered in shame concerning their sexual struggles. How can women find sexual sanity in a world gone mad? Other topics include how the West really got lost, video games and Christians, can God fit in this machine? Deepak Chopra's Cosmic Enlightenment, a remarkable summary critique of Alex Rosenberg's book, The Atheist's Guide to Reality, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Can you handle the truth? The truth about creation? Many students today aren't being told the truth. Instead, they're taught the theory of evolution as truth. That's why, in thanks for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff wants to send you Flight, The Genius of Birds. This new DVD from Elestra Media is an eye-opening look at the precise way God created birds, from skeleton to musculature to circulatory system and every other part of their body. It's all geared to work together to produce flight. And Flight shows you and your children and grandchildren why evolution is false and the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight today. 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. Children are back at school, learning the theory of evolution is truth, and fewer teachings are more dangerous. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wants to equip you with the facts about why creation is true by sending you the DVD called Flight, The Genius of Birds. The eye-opening resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So please request your copy when you call or go online. The phone number is 1-888-7000-CRI, 1-888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I've been making a particular appeal for the last couple of weeks, and it is making a difference. I'm asking those who are existing members of the monthly Bible Answer Man support team to see if they can make an extra gift this month to help us close a funding gap. And again, it is making a difference, but we still have some of the gap to fill. And if you are an existing member and have not as yet responded, it would be deeply appreciated. Again, what you do is between you and the Lord. Give as you have been given and give with a cheerful heart, not out of a sense of obligation, but it will touch the lives of people for time and for eternity. If you're not a member and you see the life-changing impact that the Christian Research Institute is having worldwide, please consider joining the Bible Answer Man monthly support team today. And for your monthly gift of $25 or more, I'd be pleased to send you a personalized copy of my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition. Thank you again for your attention to this special appeal. it will make a difference for time and for eternity. We'll go back to the phone lines and talk next to Robert in St. Louis, Missouri. Robert is listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Robert.
Hello. How are you today, Hank?
I'm doing well. Nice talking to you.
Thank you. I was calling in reference to a guest speaker that we had at our church over the weekend, and he gave a great talk, and so we looked up the ministry that he had come from, which is the International House of Prayer Ministry in Kansas City, and actually had read some things that were concerning to us, that is my wife and I, and I was calling to see if you have an opinion or any thoughts or any knowledge about the IHOP ministry. And if it was something we were concerned about, you know, how does one approach, you know, a pastor to, you know, to communicate those concerns?
I think one of the things you can do is get a copy of an article we did in the Christian Research Journal on Mike Bickle and IHOP. And the article is not particularly flattering. I mean, this is an organization that's involved in date setting. They believe the end of the world will unfold in this generation. And one thing we have learned about date setters is that they're 100% wrong 100% of the time. And they constantly give Christianity a black eye and drag the name of Jesus through the mud. Secondly, I would say he's into all kinds of sensationalism with respect to Antichrist soon coming to establish a one-world government as well. They believe in what they call the end-time forerunner church, that it'll be an advanced apostolic movement, and that this movement will experience greater things than even the apostles themselves. In other words, the apostles and prophets of this generation are going to be greater than the apostles and prophets of the biblical generations. And I think this is not only preposterous, but it is it's blasphemous, because the Bible was built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles. And to suggest that there are going to be greater ones in our midst. And some of the more outlandish of these people are saying that, well, the apostles and prophets of the old generations will be standing in line to get the autographs of the forerunner apostle movement, and that army is going to be greater than the former army. And I mean, it's just absurd kind of language. And, you know, of course, they think that Moses' miracles and the miracles that you find in the book of Acts, you combine them, you multiply them on a global level, and you're going to have a far greater thing happen with the modern-day prophets and apostles, and they're going to unleash all kinds of judgments on the earth and this and that. It's completely unbiblical. It's sensationalism. It's sophistry. It's a horrible twisting of Scripture, what I call script torture, and certainly isn't suitable to be forwarded by any church or pastor or platform.
Okay. And what month was that journal, the writing of your journal, just so I can take a peek at that?
I'm not sure, but you can find it on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or if you hang on, we can get a copy out to you.
Okay, that'd be wonderful. And thank you for that. That actually confirms what little research we had done as well. So thank you for that.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Robert in Cleveland, Mississippi, listening on WCRV. Hi, Robert.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I just want to tell you it's a pleasure and an honor, and you're my hero.
Bless you. Thank you.
I want you to know that. And you have pulled me out of the fire so many times that I can't even count on my hands, feet, toes, and all. With all the false teachers and stuff.
Yes.
And you've always stood for truth no matter what, and I love you for that. And I know God has got his hand on you. But I recently become a member of your support team.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
And I want to thank you for the letter you sent me. It touched me. And I don't know why. Every time I read certain parts of the Bible, or I try to think about it, or I try to read your letter, why I cry so much. I can't. can't really talk about it without crying and thinking about God and what he's done for me. The Holy Spirit has got me so bad, I can't hold it, it's overflowing, I can't contain it. But I'm trying to keep it together for a minute because I want to tell you how much I appreciate you and the work you do. And I know I've been listening to you for 20 years, and I'm ashamed that I've never donated or helped you until recently. And I want other people to know what it feels like to be a part of something, a family. And go ahead and do it. Quit dragging your feet. But I have a question about dreams and visions. And where in Acts, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. I know this is, I've listened to you long enough, I know that this is not, may not be directed towards us in the 2000s. This is more for the people back then, but I know I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I've had dreams and visions and stuff, and I know you taught me a lot of discernment. And I just wanted your take on the dreams and the visions and stuff like that.
Well, sure, Robert. And first of all, I can't let your words go unnoticed. I'm deeply moved by them and by the passion with which you communicated them. It just means the world to me, and it invigorates me to be ever more faithful in the cause that God has called us to. I mean, truth matters and life matters, and as Paul told Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them, because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. So again, your words did not go unnoticed. I'm deeply touched, and I think if we talk too long, both of us would probably be kind of emotional. But let me say, with respect to the question, the words that are communicated in the book of Acts are words actually that come directly from Joel. Joel prophesied about the very time that Peter is experiencing. So those dreams and visions are now coming true fruition in that epoch of time, and they're doing a lot because the church now is in embryonic form, and that church is being guided directly by the hand of God, very much like the Old Testament prophets and priests were guided by the hand of God. So God did supernatural things not only to them, but through them. Now we cannot, and you hinted at this in asking the question, we cannot put God in a box such that God cannot speak to us today through dreams and visions. But what we have to say with the writer of Hebrews is that God has already spoken. He has already revealed, and therefore, whatever we experience today has to be tested in light of some objective frame of reference. So feelings and experiences are not wrong in and of themselves, nor can we say that God doesn't use them or God can't speak through them. I believe God can speak through them, but that's not normative. It's not the norm. It's not the natural. It's not something that happens all the time. It's the unusual occasion in which something like that occurs. And I think, again, we have to be very, very careful because today, Robert, particularly in a biblically illiterate culture, when people have dreams or visions and that becomes their guidance point, they can be led into all kinds of false doctrine and practice. Faith and practice should come from the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, which is the Word of God. So the real operative phrase in answering your question is test all things, hold fast to that which is good. How do you test all things? Well, you have to know the Word of God. You have to know at least the principles of rightly interpreting Scripture, because if you don't, you can be led away by all kinds of false doctrines and teachings.
Yes, sir. I have been, and you pulled me back, because I believe in you, Hank. I know God's got his hands on you, and you stood the test of time. I've listened to you over 20 years, and when everybody else was making all these false prophecies and you was about Y2K, everybody just calmed down. Everything's going to be okay. And Zach Van Impe is making his little prophecies. He had me scared to take my clothes off at night. Afraid Jesus was going to come back and I'd be caught naked. So, you know, and then, like I said, I've listened to you. I know, you know, you stand for truth. I believe what you say. I know that God's got his hand on you because I've changed since I've started praying more and gotten closer to God. I've changed. And I've been witnessing to people, and I never thought that God could use me.
Well, he can, and he is, Robert.
He can use me.
He sure can. He can use all of us.
I was always scared to go up to people and tell them how much I love Jesus.
Robert, it might amaze you, but I've had the same feeling from time to time. How could God use me? And I think that's really where we need to be. We need to realize that God uses us not because of who we are, but because of his sovereign providence. He gives us the ability. He puts us in the right places. And now it's our responsibility with whatever number of talents we have been given, whether 10 or 5 or 1, to be faithful and fruitful and to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. Robert, thank you so much for joining the monthly Bible Answer Man support team and for your wonderful words that get me through the next month. God bless you. May his hand be richly upon you. May it give you a great measure of his grace and peace. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. How could I not after that? I'm going to stay here for an extra hour, continue taking calls. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. I'll get to you. And for many of you, can call in a question right now and for the next hour by simply dialing 888-ASK-HANK. 888-ASK-HANK. I'll continue taking calls for the next hour.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you want more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or log on to equip.org, where you can listen to the show live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Christians typically haven't had much to say about video games, and often when they do, it's pretty negative. There are certainly real concerns over violence and addiction in video games, but the church needs to give this nearly ubiquitous medium a more balanced treatment. Other topics include sexual sanity for women in a world gone mad. Does the Bible teach that the earth is flat? Soren Kierkegaard, Understanding the Christian Father of Existentialism, Contemplative Prayer, and Psalm 46:10, Suffering an Apologetic Mission, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. It's one of the most powerful tools I've seen to equip people with the truth of creation. These were Hank Hanegraaff's words after watching the DVD from Illustra Media called Flight, The Genius of Birds, and he wants to send you a copy to thank you for your donation to support this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Flight takes a detailed look at birds and addresses head-on the logical impossibility that this complex biological system could be produced by a purposeless process rather than by a personal plan. Equip yourself and your children and grandchildren with the truth about why evolution is false and why the biblical account of creation is true. Call and request your copy of Flight, The Genius of Birds today, 1-888-7000-CRI. 1-888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org.
That's equip.org.